What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Landing on the Plains, all things Auburn football from someone who really lived it. Welcome back. This is another episode of Landing on the Plains. I'm your host, Chandler Wooten, former linebacker, team captain, and NFL vet. And man, today we got another good one for you, man, just because obviously wrapping up the second scrimmage, got to get into that. A lot of good stuff from the scrimmage the guys had the other day, or yesterday rather. So we get into that. And then also some unfortunate news about J.J. Falk, you know, having collarbone surgery. We'll get into that and what that means for the remaining guys on the roster. But before we get into that, man, if you know me, you know I got to speak about this NCAA and what they got going on with allowing NFL players, you know, to even have the opportunity to come back and play. So it's kind of like, what the hell are we doing right now, man? What are we doing? There was a temporary restraining order that was placed, you know, allowing, 16 former players, multiple of which are on NFL rosters currently, right now, that now have an extra year of eligibility. And this is right on the heels of, you know, a player from Tennessee getting suspended for the first two games of the season because he accepted a $300 or $400 flight from an agent that he paid back because he couldn't go through with the draft process because of a legit injury that he had to have surgery on. And so we're punishing this guy over at Tennessee for a flight because he entered the draft and then decided, you know what? Because of my injury, I cannot go forward. So he went back to school, and he has to now sit out the first two games. It was supposed to be three until they appealed. So he now has to sit out the first two games. And here we are, about two weeks away from the season, and we're dropping temporary restraining orders to allow players, a guy who just had two sacks in the preseason game for Tampa. He's one of the guys, from LSU. We're allowing him the opportunity to come back and play ball in the NCAA. It's sick, man. It's sick. And I'm not even going to spend too much time on it, man, because we all know the NCAA is a joke at the end of the day. And, it's just like it's never consistent. You know, whether it's the NCAA's fault or not, nothing consistent. And it's just kind of like what happened to the game we all love, man? Like, when you think about college football, when you think about college athletics, man, like you think about passion, like you think about players going out there and representing their university with everything they have, you know, fighting alongside their teammates to achieve greatness. And now it just doesn't feel as authentic as it used to. And I know money has a lot to do with that, especially, you know, with athletes getting paid now. But even then, like with players getting paid, like the product is still good. It's just like, it's too much going, like with referees and conferences and like rulings like these, like it's ruining the game, man. Like college basketball is terrible right now with what they're allowing. And now like we're allowing people who just played in preseason games, fellas, like what are we, like, what are we doing, man? What are we doing? You want to allow the 5-5? Cool, man. But once you hit the draft, like once you are signed a contract in the NFL, come on, man, what are we doing? Like I said, I'm not spending too much time on it, but you know, I just had to get that little bit off my chest, man, because I just don't like the direction that, you know, college football is going down, man. I really don't, and it's just scary to think about where it's going to be like 5 years from now, because it's gone downhill and quick, fast, and in a hurry. Like, even from when I was playing, my last year was in 2021. So that's 5 years ago. So another 5 years from now, who knows what the hell it's going to look like, man. It's going to be madness. It's chaos. So, yeah, like I said, we off of that. Let's really get into some action, man, because your Auburn Tigers had their second scrimmage yesterday. And a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff coming out of, you know, what we've been hearing. You know, a couple of nuggets here and there. And so let's get into it, man. I'm going to start defensively. A lot of good stuff defensively, you know, coming out of this second scrimmage as opposed to the first one. you know, just me being a defensive player, I understand exactly what that first scrimmage is really like, man. Like I explained it, you know, about a week ago, what that first scrimmage was going to look like defensively, and it was pretty much on par. There's going to be a lot of guys doing a lot of heavy breathing, getting into shape. It's going to be a lot of guys missing tackles, and you never want to go out there and miss tackles. Like, that's not what your plan is. You don't, but this is the first time you've been live since the spring game. So you're talking about months and months and months without being live. Like, the first time you tackle again, it's not going to look pretty. It's not going to look pretty, I promise you. And that's in every level of football. Like, from the time you start little league to the time you make it to the league, that first preseason game, even in the NFL, like, the tackling is not where it's supposed to be. That's just how it goes. And so I know for sure coming into, you know, this second scrimmage, there was a big emphasis on tackling, and it sounds like the guys got that done. And that's not even the thing that made me the most excited. You know, what made me the most excited, you know, coming out of the entire scrimmage was how Golas talked about, you know, the intent and the physicality. Because to me, that more so is a reflection on how we intend to play. And we got to do that every single day. So if we're doing that right now in the middle of August, you know, right in the middle of camp, fresh off, you know, this is the first week of school, and the guys went out there, and that's what it's supposed to look like. That's our standard. And we can work on the execution and stuff. We can work on, you know, becoming better situational masters. We can become better at all of that kind of stuff. But that physicality and that intent, that nastiness that we play with, that attitude, yeah, you really can't. It really ain't too much coaching about that you can do. And so the fact that those guys went out there, especially after that first scrimmage, and went out there and put it on tape this time, like that to me indicates that we got a team that's really about that. And so that was really good to hear. But continuing, you know, defensively, man, still continuing to hear great, great, great things about Eric Winters, man. Like, I'm telling you, man, five is going to have a tremendous year. Absolutely tremendous year. Like, I'm expecting it. It's mandatory for me at this point now. Like, I need Eric Winters to come, you know, continue to do what he's been doing from the time, you know, this staff got here and up until right now, as you're listening to this podcast. And I know he's going to continue to do that. But, you know, for him to come in and step up as a true sophomore, you know, in a room that's so deep like that, it gives us more and more options, man. We got options, man. We got options back there in the backfield with Eric, you know, obviously Sylvester, Champ, new boy, Caleb Harris is still back there. And so we got guys that are interchangeable, guys that all possess different skill sets. And that's one thing I love about this safety room, man, because you got some speed. You got some hitters in there. You got some guys who can do it all. You got some size. Eric Winters, you know, his coach told him he's built like a linebacker. And so I expect him to come down and hit like a linebacker. And we got guys who can go in and play nickel. And so, I mean, it's going to be really good for us, man. It's going to be really, really, really good for us. Hearing some good things about the guys on the outside, you know, as far as Andre Jordan goes and Rayshon Pleasant goes, those two are going to be big time for us. And then obviously the guys up front, we know our linebacker is going to be steady. You know, that's an expectation for us. With X and Elijah, DeMarcus Reddick is working himself back. Good reports about him finally working his way back into shape. And, you know, that's not something that's easy to do. And a lot of people really kind of overlook that kind of stuff. But it takes a while to get back from them injuries, man, especially when you have multiple back-to-back kind of like that. It takes a while. And so when you got successful guys in the room, you know, that may be ahead of you in the pecking order, you kind of got to find your niche. You kind of got to find, you know, what works for you and kind of how you can work your way onto the field. And so I'm really proud of, you know, what I'm hearing about him and how he's adjusting right now, how he's coming back along. And I expect a big year from him as well, along with Bryce Diaz. You know, coach is playing both of those guys, DeMarcus and Bryce, at all three positions, I believe. So it's going to be opportunities for those guys to still get on the field. Like, I know we have X. I know we have Elijah. Those two are going to be big time. One of the best duos in the league, is, if not the nation. But DeMarcus and Bryce are going to help us win football games. They are. So love to hear that. And then obviously up front, man, up front, defensively, Jared Smith, Deshaun Womack, heard really good things about those two as well. And that's going to be really key for us, man. Like, if those two do what they, you know, reach their potential and play up to their size, like Jared, like we're talking about both dudes 6'5", 6'6", like Jared Smith arms are long as hell. Powerful, man. So if they can play with good technique, man, get out to the quarterback relentlessly, consistently, that just takes us to another level. And then on the inside, you just got a plethora of bodies, man. And that's one thing I love about Durkin. That's one thing I love about the D-line coach, man. Like, not only do they recruit that line well, but they rotate their guys, man. You're going to have an opportunity to play. And so I know this staff, especially come this fall camp, have been extremely hard on those young guys as well, because we need them, man. Like Crawford and Autry. Really been on those guys. And it does not help to have guys like Dallas Walker in front of them, who's been consistent for us. It doesn't hurt to have a guy like Cody Sigler inside, who can also have versatility and kick outside, which we're going to need, which I'm going to get into here in a second. And so defensively, really, really loving where we're at, loving what I'm hearing. And so let's quickly hit on this offense right quick, man. Love what I'm hearing also. And again, like the defense, the offense had a better day. And so, again, progress. Progress. Scrimmage one to scrimmage two. From scrimmage two to the mock week. From the mock week to then going out performing on game week. You keep building. You keep building. So the offense from scrimmage one to scrimmage two, much better. Again, Byron Brown, 17. He going to make everything go. And he, again, was consistent, really good. And that's what I expect out of him. And then our playmakers on the outside, it sounds like Chaz and Keyshawn, and Keyshawn in particular, have really stepped up here as of late. And so that's really going to be key for us, man. Like, who's going to be that alpha in that room? I think that is a question that, you know, I'm excited to get answered. I'm ready to see who's really going to step up. And when it's third and eight and we know the ball's going there, can he still win? And a lot of that has to do with, you know, play calling and coaching and all those things, scheming some things up. But at the end of the day, especially in the SEC, sometimes you just got to win your one-on-one, dog. So who's going to be that dog for us? We got a couple options. I'm going to tell you that much. Still hearing great things about Jeremiah Cobb. He's been consistent all camp, man. Obviously added weight this offseason. He's going to be tremendous. But what I was really most excited to hear about, especially from that running back room, is Omar still doing his thing, obviously. But it sounds like Bryson Washington is also coming along, man. And for me, that's big time, dog. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we've heard Goldis talk about you needing, you know, obviously those two backs that would change drive to drive or, you know, be able to spell each other, right? But in the SEC, man, especially a long season, you need three. So I don't know how it's going to end up shaking out. I don't. But I do know we got three. We got three. And so I just want him to continue to keep coming along, man. Because if he can keep pushing Omar and Jeremiah, and he can get back to that, you know, in shape and where he was, this run game could be nasty, man. And we're starting to figure some things out up front. You know, starting to lock down those tackles as far as who's going to be starting, things like that. And so I think Goldis just mentioned, you know, we're still trying to pin down those eight, our top eight. Let's get that, you know, let's get that starting offensive line situated, you know, here about 2 weeks out so we can continue to build camaraderie, continuity, togetherness, being on the same page, communication, all the things that's important. And then we find our three. We find our three who are ready to go at any moment, anytime, that we feel good about. Let's rock and roll. But all in all, man, there was some good stuff coming out about the scrimmage. Obviously, like I said, most important thing that I heard was the intent and the physicality, man. Because it sounds like we went out there, played angry, played physical, played fast. It was some good situational stuff. And that's probably the biggest thing that I also took away as well, is that we are not where we need to be as far as, you know, just being situational masters. And so that just comes with us paying attention to detail, man. To me, that's paying attention to detail. That's really, really being locked in, like where we are in the moment, right? Like, yes, we're out here scrimmaging, it's hot, I'm tired, whatever the case may be. But I also know I can take these practice situations and translate them in my mind to a game situation, right? And not everybody can do that so easy. Like, to every single down, look over at the sticks. Like, I know it's 3rd and 8. Okay, this is why coach calling this, right? We're in this period of practice and we're specifically working on whatever it is, 4th down situations, 3rd down situations, red zone situations. We have to be alert and situational masters, because that is what has been losing us football games. It has. That has been losing us football games, man. We lost probably 2 or 3 games last year just off of situational football. We were terrible situationally. In between all of the important situational points that pop up in the football game last year, we played some 8-9 win type of football. And we ended up with 5 wins because we were terrible situationally. And so for me, that's the only concern, man. We just got to really, really hone in and lock in on being situational masters. And honestly, it's not too much of a concern, only because that's what those final 2 weeks of camp is really for. Because now at this point, we're about to go through this mock week, which is really, really important, man. Go through a mock week, you know, introduce what a practice week is going to feel like. Get a jump start on this Baylor prep so we can really feel what it's going to be like. You got your game, you come back Monday, you got your off day, and Tuesday, you know, that's your heavy practice day. You got your rundowns, your base defense, all that kind of stuff. Third and short, whatever the coach may do. Then you got your passing situations the next days, your blitz days, whatever the case may be, long distance, all of that kind of stuff, red zone, short yardage. Like, we really got to become situational masters. And so, you know, that's what these next 2 weeks are for. Like I said, it's easier to, you know, kind of focus on situational stuff when you game plan. But yeah, that's probably my only concern coming out of the scrimmage, just situationally not as good or as clean as we could have been. But again, that's what we're focusing on over the next couple of weeks. And we should be good to go when we get to Baylor. So very quickly, let's hop on this unfortunate news, man, about J.J. Faulk. Has successful surgery on a broken collarbone, or a fractured collarbone, rather. And so what does that mean for the room? It means that we're pretty thin, you know, if anything were to happen to, you know, one of the top guys. And so it's going to be really important for, you know, one, take care of your body. 2, get your ass in shape, Jared Smith, because you're going to have to consistently play 60 plus snaps a game at a high level too. So we need to get ready for that. Deshaun Womack, 60, whatever kind of plays. And then it really highlights the importance of bringing in a guy like Nate Johnson, man. A guy with experience, a guy who's been around for a while. Got, you know, like I said, experience under his belt and playing in SEC as well. And so big time. And he's been steady throughout camp. And so it just magnifies an addition like that, man. And then you got some freshmen as well. And so, man, I was really excited to see how JJ was going to come along, because he was, he had a good spring, bulked up over the summer. And this offseason, man, was in a good prime spot to, you know, get quite a bit of playing time, man, behind those two starters. And so, man, that's it. That's a, you never want to lose a reserve this early in camp, man, you know, and diminish your depth at all. And so it's just going to highlight the importance on some of the Porter guys that we got. Maybe a freshman has to step up. Who knows? And so, you know, that versatility of a guy like Sigler, who can, you know, kick outside for a couple plays here and there. A guy like Darian Smith, who can kick out every now and then. Like, we have some position versatility as well. So, you know, we got some blitzing linebackers as well. A big ass linebacker and Elijah Melendez, who, you know, who knows what Durkin has up his sleeve. X can blitz his ass off. You know, do we find a way to get Bryce or DeMarcus on the field? Like, who knows? We got options, man. And so it's not the end of the world. But again, it is a big loss. It's because he was a guy who was coming along, and you just never want to see that, man. So speedy recovery to him. I know he'll be back stronger than ever. But yeah, I appreciate you guys tuning in. And before I go, man, let me say this. Shout out to my wife, man. Tomorrow we are having our baby girl. She's our 3rd and final child. And just wanted to say this right quick. Women, especially, you know, going through pregnancy, like, you guys are superheroes. And I'm gonna talk about my wife in particular. I just want to say this, you know, in front of everybody that listens to this, like, I love you, I appreciate you, and I cannot wait to meet our daughter. And yeah, if she becomes anything like you, then we did a wonderful job, because I've always said I wanted a daughter and I wanted her to be just like you. So I love you, I appreciate you. Thank you for, you know, embracing this journey and so gracefully. And once again, just thankful. So yes, yeah, I appreciate you guys tuning into this episode, man. If you like this episode, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And I appreciate you guys, man, for rocking with me, and only going to keep going up from here, especially once we get into the season. So excited. I appreciate you guys, man. War Eagle.